In the game of seduction, there is only one rule. Never fall in love. This week on the podcast, Cruel Intentions.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction and whatever 90s movie we want to watch. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaite.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent. We're joined. Well, first of all,
we're fucking joined.
We're joined. We finally did the surgery that would bring me and Lindsay together as one being. We're here with our third. You've been foaming at the mouth for this. He is the king of horror movies.
Films.
I'm so sorry.
Horror films.
Films. You may know him as the host of podcast Killed the Video Star. Oscar Montoya is here with us.
Oh my goodness!
Yay! We're here with us. This is our first podcast recording back together after that grueling 8-week quarantine, mm-hmm. just like we predicted. Mm-hmm.
Guys, it's only going to be until like March.
Like, yeah. I mean, you guys, we have to be realistic. We're in for at least 8 weeks of quarantining. Is what I believe I was quoted as saying.
Yes, you were. This was literally the moment when you had said that I had an out-of-body experience. I had like a panic attack, but I kept it really cool. But inside my head, it was like... And I was just like, yeah, who knows? We'll be back whenever.
Well, because people were saying 2 weeks, and I was like, please, it's going to be more like 8.
Remember when we thought 8 weeks was too long?
Too long. We were all daunted at the prospect.
So young and carefree we were. Here we are, aged 10 years more.
Seriously.
Fully vaxxed.
Reunited. We're wiser.
Well.
We're flabbier.
We're different. Yeah. We're different.
We're changed.
We are changed.
We're changed.
I don't know if I've been changed for the better, but I've been changed for good.
Ditto. Definitely changed. Same. Period.
Same. I do have like more poison inside of me as far as like my personality and my
I am
tolerance
a more toxic
people.
Human because
absolutely
of-
toxic.
Being inside for over a mm-hmm. year and mm-hmm. Being on social media every day, like 5 hours a day.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I hate absolutely everyone.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I miss everyone. Victimized. It's very confusing.
It's a weird thing.
Well,
it's
because
a weird
thing. We've been victimized by everybody's Twitters, but haven't seen them in person. So like, my
everyone
God, what
is
a
character to me now.
It's absolutely. It's such a relief to like be back hanging out with people in real life.
Because I had grown to fucking hate both of you.
And thank God. Well,
that's kind of weird, isn't it? It's like we hated each other. And, you know, for the listeners, there was a very public falling out between the three of us.
Yes.
Yeah, you all.
That we, you know,
saw.
We all deleted the tweets, so you can't go
we
back.
We don't need to go into it.
You know,
it again,
we will refuse to go into it, and we will not talk about
I
it.
Do
but
not
then,
want to relitigate.
Lawyers were involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now, here we are.
Yeah,
we knew it was most important to see each other first for that reason.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy that like not only did it happen on Twitter, but it did also bleed over into an episode of the podcast that we deleted.
Mm-hmm.
And if you if you downloaded it right away, like please do the right thing. Delete it.
Delete it.
Mm-hmm. Don't share it. Andrew walked out.
Andrew was so upset. Our third regular co-host.
Right.
Yeah.
He was like... Honestly, I've been through a lot of shit with you two, and this is the last straw.
Which we both understand and judge him for.
Yeah. And honestly, good riddance for the moment.
In what, 40 episodes now?
40 by now. 40 episodes.
39 to 40 episodes from now.
Yeah,
he will be
that he would be leaving
in
42 episodes.
Okay.
Remember.
So, I mean.
He will be missed. He will be missed.
He will be missed. And
in ways. I did tear up when I...
Oh,
Kelly and Oz again.
Aww. That's sweet. I felt nothing. No, I'm kidding. I felt deeply God. Moved. Can you imagine?
Kelly has already seen people, it turns
I have.
Out.
Yeah, I've been, I have been.
I thought we were all deflowering each other,
I know.
Much like Annette in Cruel Intentions.
Okay, I was not saving myself for the pod. I did go to like salsa and beer the other day, and that
okay.
was.
Okay.
you know.
What is that? You know what? I understand.
Oh, fantastic place.
Salsa and beer. I understand.
Okay, Salsa and Beer. If you guys haven't been, it's in, I want to say Sherman Oaks. 10 out of 10.
Really?
It's super good. They gave you this bean dip instead of salsa at the beginning. That's like really next level. And I at first didn't want to go because I thought it was like kind of bullshit. Like I was like, it sounds, you know, salsa and
How'd
beer.
You
like
hear
it
about
sounds.
It?
Everyone apparently loves it. And so I went for the first time and they have a sizzling crema carnitas thing that was like, it sounds indulgent and it is, but it was very good. But their bean dip is like the star. Really recommend it. But
so that, you go to Salsa and Beer for the bean dip.
Yeah, for the bean dip.
Good to the real ones know.
Well, because
pro tip.
That's I the thing. Hate and, salsa and beer, so I'm glad to learn about it.
Well, and their salsa, they used to have like 7 or 10 salsas, but after COVID, they only have 2.
Oh.
And you don't go to the salsa bar anymore. They bring you the salsa.
Why did COVID affect the number of salsas?
I have no idea. I think maybe they were like,
lost 8 to COVID, unfortunately. Yeah. They did not quarantine.
Yeah.
These particular peppers were being very irresponsible.
Right. Well, the onions are public anti-vaxxers.
Oh, right.
So they had
to
go.
Let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Okay, speaking of problematic things, we watched Cruel Intentions.
Yikes.
We did.
You
guys were saying before the podcast that you each had different expectations.
Opposite feelings,
right.
Opposite roller coasters.
Right. So, I mean, I assume y'all have seen Cruel Intentions before. This wasn't like the first time, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Multiple
great.
Times. In
I will
theaters,
say my very
please.
First interaction with it was reading the script on Drew's Scriptorama when I was
Stop
young.
It. Wait, yes. You yes. read the script before you saw the movie?
Because my parents wouldn't let me watch it. And then I watched it at a like sleepover or something eventually.
Oh,
but
my God.
When I was like, you know, 14 or whatever.
Yeah.
This bitch was on Drew's Scriptorama reading it and being like, this is the most salacious thing I've ever read in my life.
Yeah.
I was, I believe, 16 when this film came out.
Yes.
I was probably younger.
Well, probably.
Well, no. When I first read it, I'm sorry. When I read it on Drew's Scriptorama.
Oh, I see. Because did you read it when it first came out? Because then you would have been
shortly,
like 10.
Shortly after. Like, I want to say like maybe a year or two after it came out.
I think we've finally settled on the knowledge that I'm 6 years older than you?
I think so.
I don't know why I can't remember that.
We are 6 years apart.
You're so mature for your age.
You are.
It's because you look so
old. You have a mature soul, yeah.
You look like a fucking hag.
Okay, so what was your
so I saw
expectation
this,
and experience?
I saw this late in the game. I saw this at a 10-year anniversary screening.
Oh my God.
In New York.
Okay.
At a movie theater. I want to say the Lowe's in Union Square.
Okay.
I went to see it with a friend, and I remember like loving it and being like, this isn't problematic at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was quite a different story when I saw it yesterday. I was like, ooh. I was not expecting it to be as, you know, spoiler alert, as toxic as it was.
Yeah, extremely toxic.
Listen, this movie came out, what, 99?
Yeah, 99.
March 5th, 1999.
So, you know.
We all know where we were. We all know where we were.
We all know where we were in 99.
17, close to 18.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this was like.
No, I was 16, close to, anyway.
So, you know, Y2K was in the back of our minds.
Right.
You know, we had things distracting us. So.
we were all concerned.
We were all concerned about the future, period. And, so like watching it again, I was truly caught off guard.
Yeah.
Knocked on my back.
Like, I
did was not prepared for it.
Remember the extensive use of the F word.
Oof.
Oh.
Extensive. Like,
by every character in the movie.
5%
of the movie is just the F word.
I mean, if you want to get drunk, play, like, take a shot every time someone says the F word.
You will be comfortably
maybe
blackout
die.
Drunk.
Comfortably?
Comfortably blackout drunk. Like, I don't think you'll die.
No.
You won't remember
anything
after
minute
42, though.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you will not remember much of
the
movie.
You're going to be really upset the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the movie. I remember being very tickled by it, like thinking like, oh my God, this is so funny
naughty.
And like cool and like whatever.
Ooh, naughty's a good word for
it. It was very naughty. It's mm-hmm. very, you know, like wink.
It's like... Not edgelord, but
coy.
It's coy lord.
It's coy lord. It's coy lord.
It's very coy lord. That word that we all know.
Because it's not edge lord. It's not.
No, edge lord is
not,
like
not there. It's not there. Yeah.
Edge lord is like society and like human beings.
It's nihilistic. More,
yes, it's nihilistic.
It's very nihilistic.
That is the word for it.
It's also like, I mean, for a
but
movie,
then also not. I mean, it is based on an existing
world. Right, and there's also like kind of a morality tale.
Teens are like so like aging too fast these days.
Yes. Now, so I was like ready for like another Y2K watching this. Like I was like, I'm scared.
Oh, I see.
You know, I was like, this is gonna be very bad. Like I will truly like judge myself so harshly.
I did when you kept saying it was problematic when we were talking about doing the episode, I was like, I don't really, I mean, I know that there are problematic things within it, but I don't know that I would call this a problematic movie exactly.
It's well, and therein lies the problem of Cruel Intentions.
It's like, yes, like,
how
because
much
it's,
is
it
commentary
is damning them,
and how much is
it's
kind
complicated.
Of,
it's the Lolita of 1999.
In a way,
have their cake
yes,
and eat it
yes.
too.
But also, we have to think about like this is not an original work. You know what I mean? This is based.
It
off
did not need those
Dangerous Liaisons. Right. You know, which is also a sizzling.
Oh
you
yeah,
you know what I mean.
When we kind of teased a little bit of talk about Dangerous Liaisons last week, where I think the casting is better in this movie because
fully agree.
I'm sorry, like John Malkovich is not.
He has his appeal. I don't think he's Velmont.
I just don't think he's like that. He's
got to
be sexy.
Velmont to me is like pretty boy sexy.
That's it. Whereas he's like, like
in the
cold.
Movie, he's a little bit like of a weird, you're just like,
yeah,
I'm
he's
scared
strange.
Of
yeah,
you.
He's a straight up creep.
Creep.
Yeah, creep.
100%
pretty
creep.
Pretty creepy.
Yeah. But can we talk about Keanu Reeves? Flat ass performance.
Oh my god! I love that Keanu Reeves does not seem to know he's
totally
in the movie.
Not at all.
No, he's like
someone is telling him what to say.
I feel like directly before each
he's
take,
got that Robert Downey Jr. earpiece.
Yes.
Very
someone
that.
Is
very
someone
that.
Is angling his body and being like, "You're going to do the line this way, and this is what you're going to say."
He was a literal mannequin.
Yes, I do love that because
I love that for him.
Yeah, I did love that for him. But so I, because I was like, I remembered all the problematic stuff and like, was like, oh shit. Watching it again, I was like, oh, but like the thesis of the movie isn't, they're so, it maybe glamorizes it sometimes, but he fucking dies.
Okay.
You know,
okay,
and she and gets put in jail.
You're totally right. But the question that I'm proposing for y'all is, what is the true intention of Cruel Intentions?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, is it just to make something sexy?
Titillate.
Well, this is the other thing.
Exactly.
For something
even
so titillating.
Or are we learning a lesson
its
here?
Problematic behavior, both sexual and homophobic.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, and slightly
it's
racist.
There was a racist moment.
Yeah.
It truly, like, trying to have its cake and eat it, too, is the thesis of the film. Beyond, beyond this, it's like the, like, attitude of the film, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's both a commentary on racism, but it's also just like racist.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a commentary
which is
on
truly
like
truly a feat.
On and a commentary on sexual power.
Yeah.
While still making those scenes kind of sexy. And okay. Here's the other. I know that like the characters die, like he dies. That he.
Spoiler, sorry. First of all, if you haven't seen this movie and listening to this episode, girls, boys, and everyone in between,
watch
the damn movie.
Yeah,
movie.
Watch the movie. Also, it is based on a novel written in 1782. So
I
if
mean,
you
come
feel
on,
spoiled, you've had
that statute of limitation.
400 years.
Yeah.
And we're talking to the vampires that listen to this
podcast. Yes.
They're like, I'm spoiled.
I'm looking for a blurb real quick just before we get.
Oh, did you know also there's another log line?
Another log line to Cruel Intentions?
Yeah. What you can't have, you can't resist.
Oh my lord.
That's pretty good. I think maybe I like that one better.
It is better
harder.
Than
it
in the game of seduction, harder. There's only one rule, never fall in love.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, shut up.
Yeah. That feels too like okay.
What is
we
this
get
walk
of
walk to remember?
Now.
Like, stop.
Walk to remember.
Where she's like, I have only one rule. Don't fall in love with me. That's what I think of.
I
You might be the first person to ever connect these two movies together.
They're like, they're definitely sisters.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
terms of themes.
Well, you can't think of one without thinking of the other.
Oh, the companion exactly. piece, of course.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The spiritual sibling.
They almost feature. Like, they enrich the other.
Yeah. It's like when they made Grave of the Fireflies and they first released it and they were like, we have to show it with My Neighbor Totoro. And that was the double feature. It was literally because
well,
they
like
were
balance,
just like,
right? that's
they
balance.
Were like, we need people to just forget what happened here and watch My Neighbor Totoro.
IMDb is always hit or miss with the descriptions, but I couldn't, like, the Wikipedia wasn't great and movies don't typically have a back of the book
right.
style blurb. Right. But this one kind of rules. Catherine and Sebastian, two wealthy, manipulative teenage step-siblings from Manhattan's upper crust, conspire in Cruel Intentions, a wickedly entertaining tale of seduction and betrayal. The stakes are high when the duo agrees upon a deliciously diabolical wager of
Ew.
Sexual conquest
Boner
without
check.
Consequences. The pawns, the naive Cecile Caldwell, and the virginal Annette Hargrove. It's summer break and Catherine has been dumped by her beau, Court Reynolds, for the innocent Cecile. Desperate to get even, Catherine challenges Sebastian to ruin Cecile by deflowering her and turning her into a tramp, thus humiliating
tramp.
Court by delivering Cecile to him as damaged goods. Blah, blah, blah. This is a little bit too long, even though it is very well written. And I
wow.
my compliments to the anonymous person who submitted this.
This was written by a horny 53-year-old
yeah.
woman.
Yeah. yeah, who was like,
it
I've
actually
watched this movie 7,000 times.
Written by Christine Baranski's character.
Yeah.
but Sebastian, I'm going to quickly, like, sum up, but Sebastian mm-hmm. doesn't want to take the Cecile task because he feels it's too easy. He's got his sights set on the new headmaster's daughter, Annette, because she wrote a manifesto in 17
magazines.
Did you catch who was on the cover of
Jennifer
that?
Jennifer Love
yes.
Hewitt.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I thought
also,
he was straight up going to be like, her conquest, Jennifer Love
Hewitt. Yeah. I was like, okay.
That would have been a cool movie, though.
That would have been a good movie.
But yeah, Jennifer Love Hewitt. Who starred in I Know What You Did
Last
Summer
with
Ryan
Sarah
Philly
Michelle
and Sarah Michelle
yeah.
Gellar?
Yeah,
such a cute wink.
This
or
loved it.
Foreshadowing. I don't know when the movie was made, or the makers of I Know What You Did Last Summer went. I think this movie's on to something.
They were like, forget like... about Tara Reid, the Tara Reid cameo we saw earlier in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
We found a new leading lady.
That was like the Drew Barrymore of Scream, was Tara Reid in this yeah. movie. We were like, is she going to be?
Definitely.
Tara Reid before she dropped 50 pounds.
Yeah. yeah. The, I felt like this time period was like so full of these like ingenue actresses.
Mm-hmm.
Like these sexy brunette actresses.
Mm-hmm.
Like who play with both innocence
yes.
and
yes.
like promiscuity.
And this acting style of like kind of soapy acting style. Like,
we were all
and
for
adults.
It. We
yeah.
were
yeah.
obsessed
yeah.
with it.
Yes.
This is like residue of Romeo plus Juliet
yes,
that we
yes,
were
yes,
just
yes,
obsessed
yes.
with. And it's
we,
like,
yes.
but naughtier. You know,
yeah,
it's
not
like,
grow up with the adorable character.
No.
Mm.
No, no,
I,
no.
Maybe the adorable character came about because in watching this, we all felt so inadequate.
Oh, I mean, there was no
we
one.
We were like,
I mean,
not me. I don't know. I'm so bumbling and I wear glasses.
Well, like maybe, I mean, honestly, sadly, the person that I would have projected myself onto is...
Cecile. We all said it. We are
okay.
all Cecile.
Because also,
Cecile in her little koala shirt.
Okay, here's what I'm going to tell you. I know that her performance is very over the top. And they directed
yes.
her to be a little bit too infantilized. Which,
yes.
again, what are we saying
yes.
with that, right?
Eggs.
Yes.
Well, yep.
But I fucking knew girls like her in high school who were always wearing skirts and sitting with their legs fucking apart. And I'd ever be like, Danielle, you're put your legs together. Or like, I knew this one girl who would sit on a fucking park bench and she'd be wearing a skirt. She would fluff her skirt up so she would sit.
Oh,
do you
my
understand
God.
What I'm saying?
Oh, just like
yes.
on.
So
like
an upside down underwear flower. Would be on the
yeah, on,
bench.
Don't, not
on
the
skirt.
Fucking bench.
She's like,
that's
I don't want to get my skirt dirty.
Yeah,
that's
and everyone would be like,
it.
What the
I
fuck is she doing?
That scene, the exchange between them when Ryan Phillippe comes in and and meets Cecile, and she's wearing her koala shirt, and she's sitting with her legs open in a skirt, and he's like, I love the shirt. And she's like, thanks, my dad got it for me in Australia. And he says, so how is everything down under? And I was like, yeah. That is such a good.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. This movie at yeah. its best.
There were some star moments. I think particularly, I even though I think her performance for me was a little bit too over the top, mm-hmm. she had some moments that I thought were really fucking funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When she was the comic relief of the movie.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah. While the movie itself is like just funny line after funny line.
True.
but like the moment that, okay, this is backing up a little bit, but when Ryan Phillippe comes in and says hi to Christine Baranski and gets in her ear and is like, nice to see you. Yeah. I thought that was like really funny. But then the moment when she and Ryan Phillippe start fucking, and she's like, oh, you
as
love
in
Annette.
Cecile, not Christine Baranski. Although I would have loved it if he had also nailed Swoozy Kurtz and Christine Baranski.
There is a draft
fucking
somewhere.
Gotta be.
Where
somewhere.
He fucked them all.
Gotta be.
Although fucking whole family. I mean,
I loved Swoozy Kurtz's utter disdain for Sebastian at the same time.
Because
she knows.
She doesn't think he's charming at all. No. She calls him a putz, which I was like, not quite the description,
not quite. But there's like, so they've just slept together, Ryan Phillippe and Selma Blair. And she's like, oh, you're in love with Annette. And he's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And she's like, that's okay. And then she gets up and just breathes in his face. Like she's like, right in his face. And it's like, I don't love you either. Yeah. Like, that was so weird.
Choice?
But I loved it. So specific.
Yeah.
It was just, she was so, and then the moment when she's, I mean, it's after the Long Island iced tea incident.
It's really bad, but her choice
to spit the food out and walk away was very funny at the next day. But I was like, uh-oh.
The movie does not acknowledge how wrong that is.
Well, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. I mean, she was
raped.
Yeah.
Raped.
Mm-hmm. And I did.
Because also, she's not smart. No. And she doesn't know that she doesn't have to agree to that.
Mm-hmm.
He is truly, like, he's not only preying on a drunk, inexperienced girl.
Yep.
He's preying on a girl who is so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
That when he says, all right, I won't tell your mom that you came here, even though I'm the one who told you to come here, provided you let me kiss you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay. And he's like, no, not there. There.
Down there,
meaning, her private lady part.
Right.
And he's like, you promised. She's like, I guess I did promise. I was like, this is unfair.
This is gaslighting.
Even
like,
it's
okay.
Not just like rape. It's unfair.
Well, and like how infantilized she is. Like when he's like, I'll call your mom. She's like, don't call my mom. I was like, yo,
Very much that, Kelly.
She's basically 12.
She
had a red hoodie on and I was like, is this a Little Red Riding Hood moment?
Yeah, it's gotta be, because the costumes were so specific.
I love the costuming. Exactly.
The costuming was very good in this show. First of all, Sarah Michelle Gellar's outfits.
Oh my God.
I idolized
these costumes.
Let's talk about our favorite Sarah Michelle Gellar look.
For me,
it is her where she's at the picnic.
Yes, me too!
And Cecile, and they kiss.
The hat and the glasses and the black. Gosh. I'm a widow at my husband's funeral, and I definitely killed him.
Very mature.
Very good. I also liked the we have the iconic look, which is on the cover, which is the first look we see her in, which is the corset and the silky top.
That, for me, is my...
I love that one.
Because that corset with the, like, peachy, burnt orange, salmon-y kind of, like, bodice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So fucking hot.
Really good.
So hot.
It's really sexy. And then I also liked, because the costumes were very intentional in this. Like, when Selma Blair, like, starts having sex, she's wearing red. And, like, all the innocent girls are wearing, like, blue and pastels and pink.
Lighter colors. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar is always in black or, like, satin. Mm-hmm. I love her outfit when he comes, or when she is fully like, I'm not even going to fucking pretend with you anymore, Ryan Phillippe. Like, you're fucked. And she's wearing this like satin skirt with a slit in it and then a see-through top with the bra. And it was like a purple lace bra.
That is it.
Really, that's fucking good. Yeah.
And that's the look.
The most 1990s look of the piece.
Except that, like, these outfits could be too. Now.
Yeah, they really could.
Well, it's all coming back around for sure. Yeah. But like more so, we're doing the early 90s, like big jeans, big t-shirts, like kind of thrown together.
Right.
As you've called it in the past, the hiding from the paparazzi look.
Oh, yes, yes. Don't talk to me. I'm famous.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
But the other looks we haven't fully come back to, which is the like
spice up your life look.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's every boy and every girl, spice up your life.
Spice up your life. It's that look. It's like that sexy, it's late 90s. Yeah.
And the like, the metallic.
Oh my God, the silver.
The shimmery metallics.
Yes. And a sheer, sheer shimmery like top over like a camisole or a bra.
Yeah.
That was like.
Well, that was everywhere. Mm-hmm. That was everywhere.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
And the like weird rain poncho jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. What?
Over a miniskirt.
Yeah.
And like go go boots. What was that?
What was that look?
I mean, they made it look good.
That can stay, but can stay in the 90s, I think.
You know what's weird?
I tried. It didn't work out. I mean, everything I tried that was trendy in the 90s,
it
I was
didn't
like,
work
this
for me.
Doesn't feel right.
90s fashion was such a, like, it either worked really well or just it looked ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it straight up really
ugly. Yes.
Too many camisoles.
I don't want to like kids these days, people, but like, and this is not necessarily a good thing, but like fast fashion didn't really exist when we were teens.
True.
And so like you either had like stuff that was very expensive and like on point, which is what the celebrities were wearing.
Right.
Or you had Sears.
Or you looked like shit, which was me. I just like, I was always wearing like the same brand, but a different line. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that was like me begging because my mom was like, Ross Dress for Less only. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I will not find anything here.
Truly, every outfit of mine was jeans or sometimes like a khaki slack.
Oof.
A t-shirt.
Oh. Right.
Or camisole and a cardigan every fucking
yeah.
day. And I will say the cardigan wasn't purely like, this is my style. It was, I have a skin problem on my arms and a truly like, look, I had a self-harming problem and I still do. Mm. It persists to this day. And I like tear at my skin because I'm so obsessed with these fucking blemishes on my arms. And so I was just deeply ashamed.
Right.
And
you
just
like
it up. It would you be not matter how hot it was, I was wearing a cardigan
sweat,
every
and I'd be
fucking
like,
day.
Okay,
and every time aren't someone fucking said to me, aren't you hot? I'd be like, I will fucking kill you.
Yeah. No, I never felt fucking better.
I don't know. Do you want to fucking like stare at my fucking self-harm scars?
No.
And when my mom and sister would ask that in particular, I was like, you fucking know what's going on. Why are you fucking asking me this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh, nightmare.
Absolute nightmare. I would wear, I'm trying to think of what my outfits would be. They were either like carpenter jeans or carpenter like, okay, I did have one pair of pants that was carpenter corduroys, which is next level.
I had a pair of corduroys actually, now that you bring it up.
Yeah, I was very into corduroys.
I rocked the corduroys.
Mm-hmm. And mine were,
tan.
I didn't like,
mm-hmm.
Mine were army green.
Cooler.
I mean, maybe.
I mean, tan is.
But they were baggy.
Problem on some people, including me.
Oh, well, because it looks like your legs.
I have olive skin. I have fair olive skin.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so then it just looks like legs.
I may as well be naked.
But I remember my sister wore flare
pants.
And
like fully naked because it doesn't look like I'm wearing underwear.
No. It just looks like you're Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
You're like a doll.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like a doll.
I'm like a sad Barbie in a cardigan and no pants.
Yeah. So my sister was like actually more trendy and she liked flare pants. And I was like, flare pants suck. Mm-hmm. I only like baggy jeans, carpenter, because I needed the pockets and I needed the loop.
But so many pockets?
So many.
Kelly?
And
so many?
Also, I was like, I didn't put anything in them. I was just like, I could though. So I had like so many pockets. And then I would usually have, okay, maybe I really was fucking Cecile because I would have like a top with like a cartoon frog's face on it that said like Ribbit. And I would wear that. And then, like,
I have
little
the biggest smile on my face right now.
Clip barrettes. And I've talked about these clip barrettes.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Oh, you were in wet.
Wait.
The butterfly barrettes?
No,
the glitter
worse.
Butterfly barrettes?
They had ribbons, like, woven into them, and then the ribbons like went down.
Oh no.
And my hair was short, so the ribbons were longer than my hair.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I would like rock that. Like that, and I've also talked about my favorite, I haven't talked about it in a long time. Sweater, mm-hmm. knit. And it was bright purple, and it was the one that had two giraffes that were like putting their necks in a heart, and then their manes were yarn that came out. of the thing. And I wore that probably four times a week, that full outfit with platform Skechers.
Oof,
this was like early, like late junior high, early high school, because I've seen photos of you later high school and you looked fucking cool as hell.
Well, thank you. This, I would say there was a huge difference in my life in general between junior year and senior year of high school.
Mm.
I was still wearing baby shit probably until I was like 16.
Mm.
Just real hard into.
I was wearing some dumb t-shirts,
dumb shit,
cardigans.
I had like a limited two sweatshirt that was red that had a fluffy polar bear on the front.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be wearing limited two if you're in high school.
So funny.
What was your fashion
in high school? In high school, I rocked the very much part of the UFOs, the JNCO jeans.
Oh hell yeah!
This is like flared
what
to the
UFOs? Extreme. Oh, I was boot cut.
Oh, no. UFOs, okay, UFOs were these, like, they're like rain material.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
it made, like,
and it, like,
weird.
Didn't even really, like, bend that well.
No,
like,
it was
Is it kind of like a, like, you maybe have a purse made out of that material?
Very
like
much
a,
that.
Like yes, you would have a purse made out of
smooth,
it.
Smooth, scratchy.
Yes, very
okay.
scratchy.
Yes.
You can hear
loud.
Me walk.
So loud.
Okay.
Before
okay.
you saw
so
me.
So loud, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Long, like, shoelaces to the floor.
Oh, yes.
Just, like, baggy. Everything is baggy. I still like, triple XL t-shirts and stuff like that. I would wear, like, nightgowns. Straight up. I'm talking like Ebenezer Scrooge 90s like just as t-shirts.
Yeah,
with
I understand.
Excessively just everything. I just look like a blob of cloth.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Like
shaved head.
Okay.
Interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Head.
Didn't see that coming.
Yep. Didn't see that one coming.
Fully shaved head. Because I rocked with the straight edge kids. I was a straight edge kid in high school. And I would go to the punk shows. We would sneak into the punk shows because we weren't allowed to go to the bars. So, like, that was my crew. That's who I hung out with. So, but we all look like extras from The Matrix, honestly. That's
that
was our vibe that we gave.
Oh, that's
junior
good.
Year, I hung out with the punk kids, but they were also drug addicts.
Unfortunately. Yeah,
we were the punk kids that were actually nerds, but we were scared of drugs, so that's why we were straight edge.
I remember those kids. I had a locker next to one of those kids.
I stopped hanging out with them because I was afraid of drugs.
Yeah.
Oh, look at us.
Yeah, I didn't even have a group.
Go Ask Alice.
I was deeply terrified of drugs. Because of Go Ask Alice.
It fucking worked.
It worked. But I didn't even have like a... Well, I had a group, but like we didn't have a thing. We were just like the three weird girls.
Yeah.
You know? And like ranging in weirdness.
Love that.
And
those are the girls I dated in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, the Wiccans in high school.
Yeah, okay. Ooh. Well, so one was Mormon. So she was not Wiccan. And then the other one was like kind of spiritual.
Mm.
And then this girl who was a gymnast joined our group.
Oh.
And she like brought us up to like cooler. Because she was like very athletic and like just nice and popular, like not popular. People generally liked her, so she brought up our group a little bit more.
Wow, you had higher clout because of her.
I mean, incrementally. it wasn't like anyone knew who I was, but it was like
you were trading higher,
right.
And then this actually kind of was bad because then our group started to fracture, and so
why?
I sided because
what
I
happened?
Don't know.
Drama?
I think there was like weird. The girl that was Mormon. Like started getting like really judgy and like spiteful about just like anything.
Inevitably so.
Yeah.
So then the group started splitting and I was like, am I going to be with these fucking losers or am I going to join this gymnast girl? So we kind of split off.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what, Kelly? Smart choice.
Yeah. And then I was like, I need to go. And then we started doing track and field together.
Oh.
And she was way better at it than me. I was very bad. But that's why I was like, I hitched my wagon to her.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. All my friends were on the swim team and I joined swim team. But as I've talked about before, did not compete. because and the coach was fine with this.
Yeah,
I
would just, like, it's best.
I would just go to practices and then I'd sit on the sideline and be me just cheering in my little San Diego High bathing suit.
Dude, you know what though? Like, meets were fun. Like, for any, like,
I loved going to them. They're fun. Although no one gave a shit about swimming it.
Yeah. But like, just getting like those nachos from this concession stand and like hanging out. Cause it, for me, was an opportunity to hang out with people, which I wasn't really allowed to do. So that was cool. I liked meets.
What was like the sport that your school was like really obsessed with?
Football.
Wow. Oh,
not us.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then was cheerleading cool?
All the cheerleaders were super cool and nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow.
The cheerleaders were the nicest people at school.
That's great.
Actually. Yeah.
Ours was surf and volleyball.
Surf.
Yeah, we were coastal, baby.
Oh my lord!
I mean, I'm from San Diego. We
had a surf team.
We mine was an inner city school.
Oh no, man! We were like we were a mile from the beach, so it was like,
oh wow.
Yeah, the surf team was cool, and the volleyball was like, our girls' volleyball team was like some of the best in the state. Like, they were really good.
Really.
And it was like cool because they got to wear those like really tiny booty shorts. And like, you know, I remember being like, oh, I wish that I could wear those. But like, also, I didn't want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You said in your carpenter jeans.
Yeah.
I was like, I wish. And then I fully could.
Yeah. I was just like, I'll just do cross country instead. The sport that no one gave a shit about.
Well, I will say, no one truly gave a shit about sport. Like, by excess, that's just like the closest thing that people would go to.
What about you?
I didn't have sports in my high
school
at all. We didn't have extracurriculars.
Wait, where are you from?
I went to school in a place called the Academy of American Studies in Long Island City in Queens, New York.
Okay.
It was a very small school, specialized school. So there was 65 people in my graduating class.
What?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And we were the second graduating class of that school.
Whoa.
So
this sounds familiar now.
Yeah, we did not have anything.
Wow.
At all. Nothing at all. Nothing.
So
no
it was
sports,
just focused on like,
no like drama club
I was
or anything
doing
like
drama.
That.
Yeah.
Nothing.
What did you guys like focus on? Just
American
like academics?
History.
Oh.
Specifically American history.
American history.
So like all the cool kids in my high school were the kids that got into, so like American history is such a huge program in that school that it's a 2-year AP course. So it's like, and you have to be selected.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to rate, you have to be one of the top 15 students of the school in terms of GPA to make it to AP history your junior year. You can make it in your senior year, but then you wouldn't qualify to take the test.
Right.
And so all the cool kids were the top 15 kids who got into AP American history their junior year.
Wow. Did you guys have like debate?
That was number 14. Barely made it.
Barely.
But it was weird because in the whole school, you were so aware of your grades from freshman year.
Really?
Because they were always like placing you.
Yeah.
In terms of like testing.
This is like law school.
Very much that.
Yes.
It's
where
like,
it's like constantly, you always know where
like,
you stand.
Also, like, a hierarchy of social.
Really?
At my school.
Really? Oh, way.
Or I was like super on a, like, just checked out. But it was just, you had your groups. Everybody was basically, there was crossover. Nobody was particularly like,
wow.
Man, we definitely had cool kids and losers.
For us, it was like very much like how Japanese schools do. And like in tests, they would like just put up,
you
were auditioning for a play. Everyone sees your scores.
Yeah, that's how
they would rank you.
Wow.
So you would be like,
so was everything graded on a curve? Basically, like,
yeah, essentially,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Jesus, that's
so
nightmarish.
It was so intense. Like, I have never been, I went to like freaking art school after, you know, in college. So, like, that was like the most intense academic,
it's extremely intense sounding
place I've ever been. And I was pretty okay, not the best.
Hell yeah,
I was okay. So, that was good. That was good.
You were in.
Me.
I mean, you were in.
I was in. I was in the in crowd.
So that's
so.
Not okay. That's in.
That's in.
That's true.
You're not out. Catherine. Sure.
Catherine,
the Marsha Brady,
I wrote that down because it was such a good line. First of all,
but this was her redeeming monologue. This is like
truly this justifies
reason,
everything.
Exactly,
kind of. Yes, you're let into her mind. You see the psychosis. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I mean,
wait, did this happen pretty late in the movie too?
I think the middle
of.
I
want
to
say,
I mean, that is pretty late to find out like why she is the way she is,
right?
We never really get that same justification with Sebastian.
He's just kind of going along with
and
it.
And that's why?
Yeah.
Sebastian is a true villain of Cruel Intentions.
Absolutely. Of course he is. Of course he is.
Truly.
And he, what? He is.
He gets murdered.
All right. I'm sorry, yeah. Ryan Phillippe. You are not pulling off any act that you are doing. He is so insincere. And I'm like, how are you not seeing through this, Annette? How?
Yep.
He's so. Yeah. And he's a fucking robot alien
weirdo. Well, she sees through it for a while.
She keeps saying she sees through it.
I know, but then she keeps coming back.
I agree. Like, she's coming back. I agree with Lindsay. She keeps saying. Yeah. She keeps saying, but
show don't tell.
She knew.
Because that's the other thing, too. She's like, oh, you think you can win me over by this? But then ring, ring, guess what? Pick up.
Yeah.
You want to talk to me? You want to whatever?
Yep.
I'm like, I don't. He is actually. She was playing those totally
games.
Villainous.
She was playing those games.
Huh? The pool.
Oh, the pool scene.
Oh, the pool scene.
We got to talk about the pool scene.
Because she was falling for everything hook, line, and sinker. And then at the very end, she's like, you think you can just say some positive attributes at me and I'm going to fall for it? Well, not at all. And I'm like, you're already in love with him. And it's so weird.
Yeah. When she breaks up with him and he's like in tears being like, why can't we be together? And her response, I don't trust myself when I'm with you.
Oh, don't say that. Why are you saying that?
You lost.
You're done.
Girl,
you
lost.
And you know that this is, I mean, that's not even smooth.
No.
It is so fucking obvious to me what is going on. And we keep being told that the character is like smart, and I never see a moment where she changes him.
Nope.
He's just been a crying mess.
He there's one moment where he's, and this is supposed to be redeeming, after they go to the old folks home and she's like, you know, it's okay that you didn't have a good time hanging out with old people. And he's like, I didn't. And she's like, wow, you're honest. And I was like, is this supposed to be the moment
and like you forced that out of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then she makes those silly faces and then he laughs. Right. And
they weren't that silly.
The phone call where he's like, did I leave my glasses there?
Oh, that's the phone call I'm talking about. Yeah. Where she just is like,
and she's like, is that really what you called? And he's like, no, I really miss talking to you. And she gets finally a moment of honesty. And I was like, it isn't.
No,
it isn't.
Not at
it
all.
Isn't.
And are we supposed to think it is? And he's just not doing a good job of being sincere, or is she an idiot?
She's an idiot.
She's both. It's
both. Here's the fallacy that, you know, if there's a lesson to be learned in this movie, is this. Just because you're published does not make you smart.
Yep.
Mm, yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
Because that was her clout. Her clout was like, I got published in 17 magazine. Girl, you got a story to tell. That's it.
And just smart. Because you read.
Just
on a picnic blanket.
Mm-hmm. Nope. You are not smart.
I would have loved a tweak of just a little bit more awareness about how basically, because he died when he did, and he died saving her, that like undoes all of his evil.
He's suddenly forgiven.
If it were more of a commentary on like the way that we manipulate like what happened in order to make a story more palatable for ourselves.
Right.
Where he's, you know, because she, okay, when she's like, at the end, he dies saving her from a car, which, like, we've talked about this in, like, our books, where, like, an evil guy will prevent the protagonist from dying. And she'll be like,
son of a bitch, the whole book.
He's such a good guy. And I'm like, did you expect him to let you fucking die? Like, and it just happens he dies.
Yes, he sacrificed himself, but, like, what? Also, he had already been redeemed by confessing everything. And then
like
dies,
photocopying the book or giving her the book.
I didn't feel it was worthy.
I mean, I was grateful he died because God, he needed to
that
die.
Needed to happen.
He needed to
that
die.
That needed to happen.
But it would have been nice to have at least some awareness from the movie to us that like it's fucked up that now the story is
now
that
he's
this
guy?
Hero. Yeah.
But I think that's.
And Catherine's the bad guy? No.
I know. But that's the thing. It's like, it's that weird 90s thing of like. Mm-hmm. The guy, I mean, it's essentially a love story between like Reese and Ryan, who I guess met in this movie and got married.
Together. Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's why that scene was so upsetting to them when they had to break up. And that's why they cried so much.
Really?
I remember reading about this.
Okay, no offense to Ryan Phillippe, and he's a very talented actor and blah, blah, blah.
Right. I'm touching this cord so much. I keep adjusting myself. I'm so sorry, listeners.
It's okay.
And Kelly and Oz.
When she was like, I just felt like Reese was giving us like a 10 and Ryan Phillippe was elsewhere. Like I was like, I don't
he was
feel
giving an uncomfortable 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was like, but this is
the fact is that this was packaged.
Like, you are fucking tears streaming down your face. Yeah. How am I supposed to buy any okay, of this?
Okay, he's like a giant feelings. Baby. He looks like a baby.
If I was trying to be like a baby. Yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah. No, the fact that for 20 minutes of the movie he constantly has tears on his face, I was like, I don't need it.
Exactly.
I tend to turn off when that happens.
Like, why didn't you wipe your tears off before you went and saw Catherine?
Yes.
What?
Why are you sitting there?
I can
see the tracks.
It was an act the whole time. Because you know what? And oh God, I feel like if this were made today, right? I think that he would be much more of the villain, and we would see.
Do you think this movie would have been made? Could be made today?
I could make this movie today.
Yes, absolutely.
I could make this fucking movie.
What
today.
Needs to
it
change?
Couldn't be that.
Okay. So first of all, I think it needs to be much more clear that. Ryan Phillippe, mm-hmm. in the moment when he is crying at her and is like, oh, instead of being like, oh, wow, she was manipulating him all along, it's him being like, oh, an easy scapegoat. Like, my behavior, he can still kind of be the guy that's threading, like, am I a good guy? Am I a bad guy? And will, in fact, be seen as much more of a bad guy because he did the things he did, right? So it's like, oh, anyone can be bad. And then the moment of him, like, I would like it to be much more, like, intentional and clear that he is scapegoating her. And she gets fucked because I think that her reasons for, like, being completely manipulative and a sociopath, if we dialed into them more, could be more valid. And, like, him using everybody's tendency, right? When a man and a woman have, like, a shitty relationship and then they break up, everyone's like, well, what did she do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like, for him to be like, oh, I'm going to take advantage of the fact that like, that's everyone's like thought. So I'm just going to, like, everyone believed his fucking book. Everyone believed his
instantly.
Book.
And I will say the only thing that made that okay for me is that they immediately come out and find her little Coke rosary.
Yeah.
Well, then
they
find,
well,
that proves
there's
that
the proof. There's
least.
The proof.
And like, even if the rest of it is bullshit, she's in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, she's based off of that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was having a hard time really buying the fact that he wrote in that notebook because it felt like really scrapbooky with the font. Like he had to me, it just felt a little like this doesn't track. This isn't Sebastian.
Yeah,
Sebastian wouldn't do this.
Why is it his most prized possession?
I know, and also like. I agree about like it was like mixed media. Like what he was like, he was like
fucking vision board.
Yeah, it's a vision board.
That's like, what it is.
Because I would have bought if it like seemed a little bit more psychotic of a book.
Yes.
You know, like we're getting into fucking American Psycho kind of territory where it's just like very
a
harsh.
Manifesto.
Yeah. Like a manifesto, which we fucking talk about the entire movie.
But she's got one.
True.
Yeah. Give him one.
Everyone should get a manifesto.
Everyone gets a manifesto.
Yeah.
You get a manifesto, and you get a manifesto.
Yeah.
Cecile would say that. As she's handing them out.
Oh, my God. Cecile.
Oh, I think you got to make Cecile sleeping with Sebastian fully consensual for this
fully.
Movie.
100%,
because otherwise you cannot forgive him.
No, you can't forgive him. Well, I mean, unless you're saying he is the villain.
Also, posting the photos of Tara Reid on the
Angel Fire
calling
website.
Her a slut.
Yeah.
On the Angel Fire website.
Yeah. Where it was like, bang, bang, bang.
I'm simultaneously laughing so hard. And also like, you're a fucking monster.
Yeah.
No.
I think you just have to make him a straight up womanizer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
just a womanizer.
He conquers to conquers, but it's all consensual. And he doesn't feel the need to humiliate them afterward. But he doesn't give a shit that like, everyone's on his side, not theirs.
Yeah, or maybe he's humiliating them not through like posting pictures of them online, but like making them feel stupid for having believed him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I should say, like, me saying that Annette is an idiot, I'm an idiot. Like, I've already acknowledged I'm the Cecile. It's just that if we're being told Annette is smarter than that, I need to see that she's smarter than that.
Well, it's like,
so it's
Annette,
not like I don't.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's not like I hold that against a person for falling for it, but I do hold it against the movie for making
Annette
that
smart. Exactly. And I think that's important, Lindsay. And I think you're totally right. Because the movie is trying really hard to make Sebastian the hero of this story.
Yeah, he's not.
Whereas we have,
the
like,
whole time.
Really interesting, captivating female characters, just like running circles around Sebastian.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And yet
she's
you
so
punish
much
her
than
in
him.
The harshest way possible.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I didn't. Yes.
She didn't deserve it.
She was manipulative. She was evil. But like, can we just get like an evil female character in the 90s? Well, was it, is that too much to ask?
Why does she have the potential? Reese Witherspoon turning on her. Like,
I was like, turn it together. Don't do this.
I was like, wow. She's so smug. When did you become... I did really love her throwing that Jesus line back in her face, though, because, like, she was saving herself.
Right.
Sarah Michelle Gellar says at the beginning of the movie to Cecile and Christine Baranski, like, it's just that whenever I don't know the answers, I turn to Jesus for the way. And so Reese Witherspoon then saying that back to her, I thought was, like, very fun and
also,
dramatic.
Like, foreshadowing about, like, the Coke Rosary.
Exactly.
I was mourning the loss of like what, because I felt like there was like seeds of maybe like one of the most interesting characters in Sarah Michelle Gellar's character.
Yes.
Because she is so fucking complex. And if you have her be evil, have reasons for her being evil, have them not be excuses for being evil. I was like, that's like really interesting. But then at the end, it's like, and then she got her comeuppance, and he's a hero because he made
and
a correct
he's
choice.
Like a fucking martyr.
Not even that. That's it.
Because he fucking dies.
He got to get away.
Yes. He got
to
be like fully
he died,
turn
but
into
like
an
absolved
angel.
Of
and
his
if,
sins.
If maybe we commented on that as the movie, right?
Yeah.
As like, in a way, his legacy is like preserved because he died, changed his legacy, and doesn't get to survive to fuck it up. Like, it's in
and
amber.
He doesn't have to do the hard work.
No,
no,
nothing.
He did no work.
He doesn't have to face his, he doesn't have to face his, like, past.
Yeah, everybody, he doesn't have to do the, he doesn't have to rebuild relationships or his reputation. He just dies, and then he's good and she's bad.
Yep.
And also, but I also don't mind if she's pure evil.
No, I don't mind either.
I don't mind either.
I like her being pure evil.
It's just that, it either needs to be she's more complicated and he gets a little more of his.
Right.
Like, he gets his.
Right.
Or you make him way less problematic and her just, like, super fun villain.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know what we need? We need, like, a Patrick Bateman, American Psycho female counterpart that isn't Mila Kunis in American Psycho 2.
Caveat.
And I feel like Catherine in Cruel Intentions could be that person.
Yeah.
I would
just make
love
her a
to
full-on
see
sociopath.
Like literally, why do you do this? I don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'd be like, oh,
but it's
chilling.
Clearly like
chilling.
Yeah.
She's so fucking jealous.
Yeah.
That he fell for somebody else that she's like, I will fucking destroy
you.
Yeah.
I won't even like eventually trick you into sleeping with me and making good on our bet. I will fucking destroy you.
Yeah.
I was relieved when her story to Ronald was just that Sebastian hit her and took off and slept with Cecile.
Right.
And not Sebastian raped me.
Right.
Because I was like, I do not need to see a woman lying about that in this film.
Right.
And I thought actually beforehand, I was like, oh no, is that what happens? Because I couldn't fully remember. And I was so relieved when I like, not like it's great, but I was so relieved when she was just lying about abuse.
Yeah. honestly, I also,
like, oh, thank God.
Like, kind of touching on, I want to clarify what I was saying before about like, why I'm okay with her having these reasons for being how she is, right? I think we also could have fixed it if she, you know, goes on this whole diatribe, right? She's like, I have to be the Marsha fucking Brady of the Upper East Side and sometimes I want to fucking kill myself, right? And she could be saying this to like another female character who's like, okay, yeah, but like I feel like everyone feels that.
Right.
We're not fucking doing this shit.
It doesn't justify your behavior.
Right.
And then she could then be like, oh, but it feels really good. You know what I mean? Like, because it does feel good
to
manipulate people.
That's what I was about
to
say, is that like, all, like, I love that as like the chip on your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also not really why you
do it. Because everybody feels
you
truly,
just fucking love it.
Truly, there's something to her. Like, what if she doesn't get pleasure out of like sexual fulfillment? That, like, this is her turn on.
She's a sociopath.
Manipulating.
Controlling and manipulating.
Yeah. How fun
and
would that be?
She actually like feels nothing about
Let's
sex.
Let's see some female sociopath.
Where she's like, I love that like I can make you do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as someone who is white, rich,
yes,
and straight, like that, I mean, that is power. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like commenting on what it means to be a female that has all that privilege and manipulating that privilege to make other people feel bad.
Yeah.
I think that just would be such an interesting commentary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super cool.
You know?
Super cool.
My question to you, Kelly, is how do we deal with the gay stuff in this Cruel Intentions remake?
I mean, you gotta cut the F word. You can't have it.
I'm okay because, honestly, with the blackmail.
Yeah.
I'm okay with the blackmail.
Him being, I fucking am so interested in Blaine. I am so interested in Blaine.
Like,
I
was Blaine
was like the second most interesting character.
Blaine. Who is Blaine?
Because when he then, because right,
because
when Blaine
he
is
did
like,
it on purpose.
Yeah, when he's like, oh, I guess I was wrong. I don't know why
he's
I
like,
told you
oh,
that.
Now that I think about it, he absolutely couldn't have written that. And I was like, so let's get into the fact that like this was your revenge for him, like secret boyfriending you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, if we had, because I mean, what would happen if these worlds collided? Catherine and Blaine start like
and
conspiring.
That's my point.
Yes.
I wish there was more like autonomy with Blaine's character because it does feel like Sebastian is also manipulating Blaine.
But then he's being manipulated by Blaine.
Exactly.
Yes, I want more.
So to me, it feels a little messy there.
Yeah, it is messy. Performance too.
Joshua Jackson, honestly, here's the thing. I hate it when straight people play gay people.
Yeah.
But Russell Jackson was pretty good.
He was good because he wasn't character-y.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he wasn't.
He wasn't like...
He wasn't a cartoon.
Yeah,
but that's the other thing.
We'll get
a
stereotype.
Yeah,
he wasn't,
we'll get an actual gay person to play a gay person.
That's personally. Also how you
in the,
fix it.
Or
in
Joshua
the
Jackson to play a teenage child.
I mean, that's Dear Evan Hansen, right?
I don't know if he's going to do this if he won't do Mighty Ducks Game Changers. How likely?
Yeah. Okay. Were you guys, in the moments where we're like watching the video of Selma Blair like interacting with her cello instructor,
I was also like, Ronald, why are you into Cecile? She's a fucking idiot.
Well, also like, why are you into somebody who's so infantilized? Like, and the fact that everybody's into her, it's like, what is that? Anyway.
It's gross.
But when we're watching that footage with Sarah Michelle Gellar, are we not team Sarah Michelle Gellar when she's like, fucking idiot about her, like
100%.
I was thinking the same thing.
Every time
she said that,
frustrating.
I was doing that.
You know
she's extremely
I mean?
When she's doing the fucking splits upside down with a skirt on in front of him. I was like, this is
so unaware,
fully in his face.
Yeah,
and she's like, how did I lose court to this?
To this? To this? Sarah Michelle Gellar was great.
Yeah,
she was
so
amazing.
She was so good. Was this okay? Question in the timeline.
Yes.
Is this pre-Buffy or
no,
like
mid-Buffy?
Mid-Buffy.
So this is 99.
Buffy started.
Buffy
she had
was,
to dye her hair.
Yeah, 90s started fall of 97. So shooting obviously was before.
Oh my god.
And then this was 99, and because I looked all this up, and then I Know What You Did Last Summer was 98, I believe.
Wow.
Oh, no, 97 also.
Honestly. Range.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sarah
huge
Michelle
range.
Gellar with the range. Mm-hmm. That's a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was pre-Buffy.
No.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
I want her to get more credit for being a comedic actress.
She's
so
funny.
She's so funny.
She's so funny. Just like even her moments when she is so fucking frustrated with all the idiots around her in this.
Mm-hmm.
And her face, like, there's like a moment
truly,
where they're
like,
fighting over
her intelligence.
My God, when she pulls.
Like, yes, everyone.
Her hair.
Yes.
Yeah. When she pulls her hair, that was so funny. She's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
She's so freaking good.
And like, she like does this thing with her mouth where it gets all small when she's upset.
Yeah.
I was like, she's so cute. I really like her.
I think she was maybe wearing a wig for some of this, but then
her
not
hair did look
at
a
other
wiggy.
Times because I was like, I see your roots. Why did they do that to you?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she could have been wearing maybe like a pretty good lace front, but I doubt that because a lot of times wigs in movies.
Yeah, not in 99.
No, they were
looked
wiggy.
Lace front did not look that good.
No, it was like a hat.
That's
what yeah. like a hat on your head.
It's a fuzzy hat on
your yeah, head. Yeah, it's just like a hat with like coverage on your neck. Did you guys like this movie? Aside from the complicated feelings.
Yes. I was... Truly, maybe the only unforgivable parts for me are the F word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did they use it so much? But at the same time, I'm like...
It was the 90s.
I'm like, these fucking assholes would have used that word
But that's
this
the
much,
thing. They
but
are
I still
evil.
Don't need to hear it.
Yeah. They can be evil
and
in other ways.
Yeah, and because then it's also like, but these guys are also very cool. And that's where it becomes a problem. And Cecile needed to be fully consensual.
Yes.
Yes, it needed to be fully consensual and
very bad otherwise.
Yeah, those were my two major problems with it as well. Otherwise, unfortunately, I did enjoy this movie.
I forgot how funny it was.
It's very funny.
It's really well written.
The like snappy, snap, snap, yes. snap. Yeah.
Just and sharp. Same writer and director.
Yes.
I think it's Robert Cumble, Richard, Roger.
But also snappy without being weedon-y. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, right, not quippy. Right.
Not it's quippy.
Snappy.
It's
snappy. Sharp.
Snappy. Witty.
Sharp.
It's very witty. Sharp. Very yeah. witty. I also appreciated that for being a really racy movie, the only nudity is Ryan Phillippe's ass.
That's true. Yeah.
We didn't see any titties.
We didn't see
any titties. We didn't see any like girl ass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we get boy butt.
For something that's so, it's aside from the major problems that we mentioned.
Of course.
I was shocked at how non-gendered a lot of the bullshit was.
Yeah.
Yes. I would also, so it was written and directed by a guy named Roger Cumble. It started out as an independent film and then Columbia picked it up.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah. And I would not be surprised if he's gay.
I wouldn't be surprised either. I would not be surprised either.
Listen.
Which does.
Gay people have a really, I mean, if you want a sharp writing.
Yeah. It's right there.
And make also, a gay like, man write
it. Fucking killer camp female characters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to come from a game.
How hard did you guys laugh when you saw that his journal is called Cruel Intentions?
I mean.
Did Annette call it that?
I don't know.
I was like, what?
I was like, whose choice?
He wrote it. He wrote it. Cruel Intentions.
He did it.
And then married to a woman. Could be bisexual.
Well, yeah. Could be bi.
I also.
We know what his spirit says.
Yeah. We see it. It's on the screen.
He is, at the very least, the reincarnation of a gay man.
Right.
Also, I laughed really hard at the end when Reese Witherspoon is driving in Ryan Phillippe's car.
Yes.
And she, like, looks to the, she has all these memories of, like, her and Ryan Phillippe. And then she looks to the driver's seat and his journal is there. I was like, he's in the journal?
His soul is in the journal now. Our boyfriend's
so
journal.
Too much. It's so too much. Can we take a moment to talk about the soundtrack, please?
Oh my God. Yes. Very, 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 very sharp choices.
It's so 90s. Yeah.
Yes. Very, it is all over the place. Yeah. I did appreciate the comedy slash intrigue music throughout.
The like, can you believe what these people are up to music?
But it had, I mean, truly.
The needle when drops, though.
When it comes to iconic musical moments, we have the moment where Ryan Phillippe is waiting for her on top of the escalator. And Counting Crows Colorblind is playing.
Yeah, wow, huge.
Truly, huge. I mean, that was such a moment
where I was like, yes, this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Less so, Praise You.
Fatboy Slim. Wait, when does that come in?
It comes in when she's like making her goofy faces and she's made him laugh and then they hold hands.
Oh, really good needle drop, just like the timing of it. When Sarah Michelle Gellar is giving the speech at the funeral and everyone starts walking out and she starts running out and it like
bittersweet
to and then, the verb.
And it was like, and then it was like bitter right as she comes out the door. I was like, oh, that's beautiful. It's like building. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
And as she's power walking.
That's a chef's kiss for
literally
me.
Literally goosebumps thinking about
it. It's so perfect. I mean, honestly, like, you know, teen movies have the best soundtrack. I have yet to find a better soundtrack than Jawbreaker in my humble opinion.
Oh my God, beautiful soundtrack,
But Cruel Intentions, pretty good. It is a hodgepodge of a soundtrack.
That's what, like so 99 and that makes it fun, but also like, some of the songs don't work.
Right.
Oh,
but
yes.
The songs that do work more than make up for the
very
ones
much.
That don't.
Very much that.
Yeah.
Very much that.
And the fact that, like, she's wearing the, like, navy dress with the half red cardigan and he's suddenly in a blue shirt.
When he wore the blue shirt, I was like, it's because he's in love and he's now a good person.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because
of the blue shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is, it's like, with her, she's either, I mean, the color of the costuming is so meaningful. Like Annette is always in white unless she's like feeling very passionate, and then she's either in like a red and a deep blue or a pink,
right?
But she's
always in the blue swimsuit when she comes down. That's still like very virginal. It's a one piece. Yes, it's blue, like very Mother Mary. Mm-hmm.
But like, what do you think specifically? Because I know that like pinks and reds were passion.
Mm-hmm.
But what are the blues?
Blue is innocent.
Innocent, yeah. Innocent. Or like love, or like, you know what I mean? It's like in the good color chart, it's like the opposite of red.
Yeah.
So if red is horny, blue is
Blue is like making love. Like blue is like let's sit and watch the sunset.
Yeah.
Red and red happens.
Catherine's room is entirely blue, a deep blue.
Deep blue though, and so that's the difference
why
between,
I'm wondering.
No, so that's the difference between a very bright like this color of this couch versus like a pastel. Like so, all of the innocent girls. I was noticing this. All the innocent girls when they're innocent wear pastels, and then once. Which is different than like these like luxe colors. You know what I'm saying? Like the really deep
saturated
colors.
Ones.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
but his blue was so bright.
His blue is very bright. I don't know, maybe it's just like more eye catch but it's not deep blue. It's like bright blue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I just wonder what that means.
I don't know.
Like I feel like the
he's good.
Costume designer maybe has like a very specific word that I can't
for
land
sure.
on.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what's her name? Cecile is always in like either like a child's graphic tee or like she's wearing like pink and orange in one scene or like pink and whatever. And then she's wearing that very bright
red hoodie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The red hoodie, the red dress she's
that's
fucked.
Right. Yes.
What's his name? But I think like those deep like jewel tones.
Uh-huh.
So the jewel tones are like sexy. So like that. Purple, like that amethyst colored dress that what's her name's buying and then wears later, Sarah Michelle Gellar's character.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the costuming in this movie was very good.
And costuming
the set deck,
real
very
smart.
Good.
Real smart.
Did you notice the like very intense ADR that they did with Reese Witherspoon while she's on the horse? This girl's mouth was not even open. No. Not even open. And it's like, oh, I enjoy being here at your house.
I was blown away by Louise Fletcher playing the aunt. I was like, Fletcher, what are you doing here?
I know. And then her ADR made me laugh so hard. She's off screen and she goes, oh no, what am I going to do? And then like walks up like in the frame. I was like, they added
so
that.
Fucking fake.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say my two favorite Ryan Phillippe moments. No, I have three maybe. One of them is when he's at the aunt's house because he knows Annette is staying there and he's beginning his campaign and he's like skeet shooting. And he like, the aunt calls him. She goes, Sebastian. And he goes, oh, fuck me. Auntie. And I was like, star moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good. Really good moment for him.
Oh, God. I forget the exact wording. But I remember me and my friends used to quote it at each other all the time, even though like it's not, and that's why I can't remember it right now. It's not particularly quotable, but the way he says it is she's like basically like, I was told to stay away from you, or like you have like cruel intentions or whatever it is she says.
She looks down the barrel.
And he goes, what's that supposed to mean? Or something like that. I was like, what is that
like
line
a fussy
reading?
Baby.
Yeah.
What's that supposed to mean?
That
what
one
do you
was
mean
really
by it. That? Something like that. So stupid. And then my favorite line of the entire movie is weirdly when Catherine and Sebastian are telling Ronald that like they're gonna help him get together with Cecile after Christine Burns.
Oh my god, when they're like in the glasses
in like such and they are being like fucking creepy as fuck.
So creepy and their smiles.
And he's like, how am I gonna get a letter to her? I can't get in the house. He's like, should I email? And he goes,
yes,
email is for geeks and pedophiles.
Oh, yeah.
I love
so
that.
Hard.
That's such a funny line.
Oh my God. It's so funny. And I was like, kind of still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something
still kind of
never change.
Yeah. Yeah. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
I loved that scene when they are trying to get him to like keep doing
it's so
with
goofy.
Cecile. Like, the door opening and then both of them wearing their sunglasses and smiling like they just seem so creepy.
Yes.
And like just like keep smiling and like
the
I
way they're like
was,
poised on the chaise lounge. So
yes.
funny.
So funny. Also a really good Sarah Michelle Gellar moment, even though it's for something really bad, is when
Cecile is like telling her, like how she whispering in her ear about the night that she had with
Sebastian.
And she's fucking grinning and it's so creepy. And then the second that she that Cecile pulls back, she like drops it. Like she does a lot of face so drops concerned. That are so good.
Yeah.
She's so good in this freaking
She really
movie.
Is.
She's really good.
It's so freaking wild. Like what?
Yeah.
She has
so versatile.
So versatile.
I mean, we didn't ask for Sarah Michelle to go that hard.
Mm-mm.
But she still gave it to us anyway.
Yeah. So good.
What the hell?
Yeah. She's so good.
She was raised on soap opera acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's and where she cut her teeth.
And it translates to this kind of stuff.
It's
for
so
really
weird
well.
That she doesn't play villains as, well, really at all. Like, what?
Yeah.
Has she ever played a villain before? Or since?
No.
I think she was a villain on All My Children. She was like a bratty little
teen. Oh, yeah, she was.
Kendall.
And kind of like a, like.
She was basically
sexually
Catherine.
Powerful. Yeah. Like,
not demented, I don't think. She was just, I think, like a little snot. I actually did watch her on All My Children for a little bit.
How
before
old was
she was,
when she was on All My
She was like 14, 15. Wow. Or maybe even she started maybe younger even.
Okay, let me see here.
But she was good on that. I will say like her cry acting never went beyond soap opera crying.
Right.
That would be like maybe my one note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I don't deserve to give Sarah Michelle Gellar notes. So like what the fuck am I doing?
Hey Sarah, you listening?
Hey Sarah, I don't know if you listen to this podcast, but I take it all back. You're great. You're perfect.
Okay, so she
Ryan Phillippe, however, I my
oh
notes
my gosh,
stand.
Yeah, yikes, yikes.
I mean,
but
did
he became
I
a heartthrob after this
love
movie.
Ryan Phillippe would when I was sitting in the theater and they did have sex, like the like blossoming in my diaphragm.
Oh, I
like,
hated when, when they had
oh
sex.
My god.
Oh, I was like so mad.
Yeah.
I was so mad. I was like, oh no.
I mean,
and
I
it was
hated
so
that
long.
They did, but I was
it
like,
was
Ryan
long
Phillippe
and awkward.
Is so beautiful.
No, same. When I was younger, I remember like. Feeling like I was falling watching that
yes.
scene and being like,
really?
Yeah.
But
like, now I was
tingling. Well, now I like, I looked down at my phone and I looked up and I was like, oh, I missed it.
For me, I was like,
oh,
it's just not ending. Oh my God. And then it was like so many close ups of like backs and
yes,
like, arms
yes,
and then
yes,
like,
him being like, are you okay?
Okay. Oh, I almost barfed. Honestly, Reese Witherspoon
it's like
has
good
had
to check in, but like also barf.
Yeah. I mean, great to check in. Yeah. Yes. But like also Reese Witherspoon has had to have some truly disgusting on-screen kisses, as we discussed from Fear with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh my God, stop.
Yeah, I mean that, I was like, the whole time I was watching this, I was like, at least it's not Mark Wahlberg. Because that was truly the most disgusting thing.
Yeah, and clearly
seen.
She had an okay enough experience on this to marry him.
Truly.
Okay, you guys,
a
huge news,
I think
okay?
It was longer than a minute. I think it was like maybe five.
You guys, this is really huge news, and I need you to, don't freak out, okay?
Oh my goodness.
What?
In 2016.
Yes.
She plays Catherine Mertul
no.
in the TV movie Cruel Intentions.
TV movie?
What?
I don't know what to do. I'm freaking
out.
Sorry,
this real? TV movie?
They did a
when?
Sequel?
15 years after the death of her brother, villainous Catherine Mertul. Oh God, it's not letting me... seeks to manipulate her nephew, Bash, and gain control of the family business, Valmont International. It got 7.5 stars out of 10.
7.5 is
on
high.
IMDb.
That's pretty high. Where did it air? What happened?
Okay.
What?
Okay.
So are you...
Peter Gallagher is in it.
Did you, like, tap into an alternate
you
universe's IMDb?
You definitely did.
What the shit?
Oh, this is cute. Sarah Michelle Gellar, Reese Witherspoon, and Selma Blair... all went together to see the unauthorized musical parody of Cruel Intentions in Los Angeles in 2015.
That is cute.
It's cute, isn't it?
They're friends still.
They are friends. It's very sweet that they're friends still.
Sarah Michelle Gellar seems like she's actually legit cool.
Yeah.
She does.
She's never really praised Joss.
No.
She had that
Allison.
Did you hear that statement she
released?
Where she's like, I can't talk about it, and I've moved on, and I don't want to be associated with Buffy for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Or I do want to be associated with Buffy, but
not
with
show.
Joss.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh,
and all of a sudden
a
I was thinking about it. I was like,
that's a statement.
Yeah, I don't think she's ever been super buddy-buddy with Joss.
Never. No, she's never been.
Because she didn't do other shit with him.
No.
Unlike Eliza Dushku, who did a ton of shit with him.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 So anyway, I think she's actually quite awesome.
I think she is quite awesome. Also, if you ever use her Foodstirs bake mixes, they are good as shit.
Okay,
they're
what?
So good. Yeah, she started
oh, I
doing.
I forgot she did that.
She has a Snickerdoodle Blondie mix that's like oh, next level. All you add is like water and eggs. It's so good.
Okay, what?
It's good. It's good.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Okay, hold on. I need to figure out how to watch this fucking movie.
This writer director also did The Sweetest Thing.
Director is the same guy, Roger Cumble.
No!
Writer director, Roger Cumble.
This is weird. What?
How did I not know about this?
This is bizarre.
Okay. Huge, huge, huge. Who plays Bash? Taylor John Smith.
No, what? Unfamiliar.
Unfamiliar, unfamiliar. This is huge.
Where?
He directed episodes of Ringer.
Which
oh
she's
God,
in.
That's
yeah,
funny.
That's why.
Oh
he's
my
in.
God. So do you think they're friends? Probably.
They're probably friends.
Okay, okay, hold on.
Amazing. He did not write that Cruel Intentions sequel, though.
It says. He did.
Maybe he may have
with two other people
directed it.
Oh, well, it says writers Roger Cumble, Lindsay Rosen, and Jordan Ross.
Updated, I guess.
And you're talking about TV movie, not
TV
sequels, because there were
TV
Cruel Intentions sequels, correct?
Well, the Cruel Intentions movie TV movie is a sequel.
But is he credited as characters created by?
Oh, maybe it just says writers director.
Click on it because it usually specifies. What the fuck?
Whoa.
He is, Roger.
More details, please.
Roger, let us know.
Wait, what network did this air?
What the fuck?
How can we watch it?
How did we
oh, my
not
God.
No. Oh, my God.
We're all furiously typing
hour
on our phones right
minutes.
Now.
Okay. Okay, 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 nuts. Okay. How do I watch this? How do I watch it? Oh, my God. There also was a TV show? What?
Lindsay Rosen also writes on Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. Which I watched the first season of and like fucking sobbed. Got dad stuff. And then the other person, Jordan Ross, executive producer and
NBC.
Writer on The Royals.
Wait, it was the pilot.
They were going to make it a series?
Yeah.
So it probably was like.
I do remember this.
Yeah, it probably was like, you know, the Carrie thing when they made like that really long movie, that pilot
yeah.
that was like basically a made for TV movie.
Yes.
Okay, where can I watch that pilot?
Oh my
we'll
gosh,
find,
it's
we,
got
we,
her
we
driving the car.
Yeah, she's driving his car.
Ah!
Huge.
Wow.
Huge.
Wow.
Huge.
Wow, and it didn't get picked up. That's wild to me.
Fucking one of the like the key art here shows her and she's wearing a little cross and it says change is overrated.
Oh, really good.
Oh, my
really
God.
Good.
Terrible,
really
like,
good.
Non-existent I mean, graphic design.
I mean, that is like somebody like just put
that's
that together.
That might be fan. Yeah. Like very
fan
lazy
art.
Fan art.
Fan art.
Incredible. I totally forgot about that.
Wow.
But now that you say it.
You
yeah,
know what?
I now
I will
remember.
Say it wouldn't be a Teen Creeps episode if there wasn't a sense yeah. of discovery.
Yeah. We always learn something new.
Exactly.
That's true.
Wow. I mean, so if you haven't watched Cruel Intentions, just be aware there's some like pretty problematic stuff in it, but it is a I would say watch it.
What we didn't talk about is the problematic Vietnamese assistant.
Oh, as a Vietnamese person, Sarah Michelle, they should have coached her on how to say that because she didn't say it right.
Or
she's like,
that was
on purpose. Maybe on purpose. She says Kamoing, which is Gamun. It's fine. yeah,
or is
the,
it?
Yeah. That Asian thing was
it
not
was
great.
Like I loved the moment between them when she like walks in and also like she disappears entirely, which I was upset by.
Yeah.
I was like, just make her a character.
Yeah.
That would be cool. And
yeah.
then
also
it's
because
like,
she's like the only Asian
yeah,
person.
She's the only Asian person in it, and she's a servant
but
and like, is silent.
Guess who fucking returned to that pilot? It's
your-
her?
Fucking kidding,
she,
it,
her and Sarah Michelle Gellar are the only actresses from Cruel Intentions to return.
Asian representation.
What the
so
hell?
It may be justice for.
Wow.
Do you think she has to
lost
audition
her name.
For that?
No, she's offer only. She's offer only now.
I
wow,
hope.
Huge, huge, huge.
Wow,
huge, huge.
Wow,
fascinating.
Wow.
We love,
love,
we love, we love. Hopefully
we love.
She had some lines in the pilot.
I'm looking.
Hopefully.
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 Knock on wood.
I do not know how to say her name.
Can I see it?
But I feel that she her name should be said.
Oh, yep. I don't know. T probably. And then I don't know how to say it. Leia probably.
Good on her for having her full Vietnamese name.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Rare.
Yeah. Usually a lot of people get like an American name.
We stan.
What?
The true star of Cruel
Intentions. She's got a sad story. Age of 8, 1979, the Vietnam-born actress and her 7-year-old sister were separated from their parents and left their village in central Vietnam and came to the United
States.
Oh,
she's from like the Hue area. My mom was separated from her family. Or wow. The girls were separated from the boys.
The mother did finally come over 4 years later.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Pre-med student at UC Davis.
Oh.
Okay, what?
Good for her. Wow. So yeah, watch this movie. Just note, there's issues.
There's issues.
There's issues that I'm sure they didn't replicate in that pilot that they
I'm sure they
tried to reboot.
Oh my God, I certainly hope not.
Yeah.
And everyone. I certainly hope they had more fun with Sarah Michelle Gellar's character in the pilot.
So I saw a little sneak where someone's review of it, and they were saying, like, she really returns to form towards the end of the movie. So I was like, oh, I'm hopeful.
Love that.
Because I was afraid that maybe she was just, like, the audience's way into the actual main teenage cast.
Yep.
No, I need her to be in
I
it
hope
fully.
It, like,
I need
her
that,
truly about
that happens
her.
In a lot
yes.
of remakes. It's
yes,
like,
exactly.
We're going to get some of the cast, but they're not going to be the main folk.
No.
You know what I mean? We're going to introduce a new generation of these kids.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that it's very much her story.
Yeah.
And it's sad that it's just a pilot and not a series, of course. But
yeah.
NBC passed and Sony took it around and nobody bought it.
Dang, I would have bought it.
Sad.
Yeah, you didn't take it to Kelly.
Take it to me. I'll give you a
dummy.
Kelly.
I'll give you $10.
Airing on Kelly TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very iCarly situation.
Yeah.
KellyTV.com.
KellyTV. KellyTV.pizza. The .com was not available. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh my
Oz.
God.
You are
so what a treat. Honestly, it's a treat. This is my first time being in the studio with other people. This is so fun. I love you both so much.
We love
much.
You so much.
Y'all know how much I love you.
So good to see you.
It's so good to be here with y'all.
Do you
I'm
have anything
so
you would
excited
like to plug?
That you guys were my first.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
We deflowered you.
Oh my God, I feel like Annette.
Am I Sebastian?
Yes.
Yes.
Fuck.
I'm sorry. Yes. You
fuck.
Because you fuck the most people.
Yep.
It's true. I fucked a bunch of people before I came here.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. What do you got to plug?
Well, you can follow my. I have a new podcast called Podcast Killed the Video Star, and it is a music video podcast. And me and my co-host, Manu Agapian, we are on a quest to find the definitive top 100 music videos of all time. And the way that we do that is every week, we each nominate a video, and then we talk about a video that's popular in the zeitgeist, and then our listeners vote for which of the three gets to move on to the top 100 list, and then we sort of like rank them on that.
We love a bracket.
And it's great. Beautiful. It's so much fun. Some of the most bizarre choices made.
Yes.
On that podcast. But you know, we don't get to vote. So.
What is one that's currently in the running?
Right now, the number one video, interestingly enough, is Jamiroquai's Virtual Insanity, which is, yes, iconic.
Yes.
But also a shock to me that it's the best video so far.
It is for sure iconic, but I wouldn't say it's one of my favorites, but as to whether it's the best, I couldn't say, like, technically.
Exactly, yes. Technically, it's very impressive.
Right.
But, like, there's so much, like, flashier music videos
out
there.
Right, right.
But it's very, hey, listen, but if you want to get in on it, all you have to do is follow Podcast Killed the Video Star on Instagram. That's where we vote. So if you want to vote, you want to change, you want to make a change, you can do so on Instagram.
Great. Lovely. Check that out, you guys. Make sure you follow, make sure you listen, subscribe, all that stuff. Now, if you want to support our show, teencreeps.com. No. What? Hello?
Teencreeps.pizza. Wow.
Teencreeps.pizza. Lindsay just gave me the most betrayed look. Patreon.com/teencreeps.
Actually, well, what? I gave you that look because you said that, and I was like, mm-hmm. And then you went, what? And I went, yeah, what?
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, no.
I would have taken you down with me. So thank you so much to everybody that supports on our Patreon. We got a lot of really cool stuff on there. Make sure you check it out. Lots of fun stuff for all different tiers. A special thank you to our Patreon producers, Carrie Labarsky,
Rebecca Goss,
Jessica Yu,
Gwendolyn Ludovic,
Keith Anderson,
Emma,
Brian Petty II,
Saoirse Descaro,
Marco Pavlicic,
Katie Lilly,
Rashad Black,
Gabriella Santiago,
Grace Armstrong,
Tristan Buckner,
Courtney McPhail,
Victoria Gray,
Sarah,
Claire Moore,
Randy Klett,
Melody,
Jeremy Kronk,
Jonathan Venable,
Sarah Wallen,
Mandalay Wolschlager,
Kat Miller,
Gianna Fernandez,
Landry Desmond,
Megan Lozier,
Rogue Kalahua,
Karen Lewis,
Miranda Hester,
Ebony Collins,
Emma Murray,
Katie Olsner,
Chris Darina,
Danny,
Victoria Beck,
Amanda Nangle,
Luke Bartek,
Ashley Fritz,
Sasha Gibson,
Miguel Camacho,
Aaron Fernandez,
Noah Spargo,
Molly Marks,
Victoria Valdez,
Micah Eunice,
Laura Hooper,
Kelly Burns,
and Kate K.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. And thank you to all of the people who made this episode possible.
We love you guys. Next week, we are covering The Drifter by Richie Tinkersley Cusick. So we probably got another
busy
really
villain.
Sexy RTC boy and probably a very busy villain.
Mm-hmm.
So read that.
We will see you then. Thank you so much for listening. Again, so good to be back in your presence.
Thank you so much for coming.
So happy.
We're so happy.
So you guys could be doing this too if you get vaccinated.
This could be you.
This could be you. So please do so as soon as possible. Thank you for listening. Keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Dog. Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.